relationship. It's a serious recalling. If you're a missionary, this is not just being sent out by a church. This is being sent out to God, by God. If you're a new believer, you're just a new Christian, you have a calling on your life. That's the first thing we need to see about stewardship. It's not man appointed. This is not self-appointment. This is not you saying, I'll just do what I want to do with my life. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Your life, your body, your possessions, your talents, your goods, your gifts, everything you have is no longer yours. It's on loan from God. He's given it to you for a particular purpose. We need to recognize that we're stewards. And the stewardship has been entrusted to us from God Himself. First point. Second point. As a steward, you have been gifted by God. Look at verse 25. Of which I become a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me. Paul was aware that God had given him certain things to be responsible for. He knew personally that the knowledge that he was given to share to others, this mystery that was hidden from ages past, was new revelation that God gave to Paul, and he didn't receive it from man. That this new revelation was divinely inspired and revealed to him from God, and he was responsible for it. It was supernatural knowledge. A knowledge that was not his own. In other words, the knowledge that Paul had was a gift. He was an educated man, but he didn't receive it through his education. He didn't consult with the other apostles, but it said that he went into the Arabian desert for 3 years and sought at the feet of Christ and learned his doctrine from Christ himself. But we too have been gifted by God. We may think that what we possess, we have earned, and thus we have the authority to do with it what we want to do with it. You know, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want to do with it. It's my life. That's the message of Satan. It's not your life. It's my health. No, it's not your health. It's my children. No, they're not your children. It's my money. No, it's not your money. You've given up all your rights. Not just that. Everything you own is a gift. You're a recipient of God's grace. You're recipients of God's gift. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Rhetorical question. Answers nothing. If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything you have, even your spiritual gifting, is a gift from God. It is by grace that you are what you are, and it's by grace you have what you have. If you have $10, $5, or $2, thank God, because you don't deserve it. And you didn't earn it. It was God's gift to you. Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. You may be smart, but don't boast in how smart you are. That's a gift. It comes with a responsibility and a stewardship. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. You know, we've been gifted differently, but that's what it is various gifts. God's allowing you to borrow something. He's entrusting you to hold something, to manage something that doesn't belong to you. You need to realize that. I need to realize my life itself is for me to manage because it belongs to God. And I'm going to have to give account to the one who owns it for how I lived it and what I've done with it. This is why it's called a stewardship. Again, our children are not our own. God can take them any moment He pleases and has a right to take them. How are we handling the stewardship of raising our kids? Our health is on loan from God. God can take our health any moment He chooses. Our time is a gift. Our greatest gift, the thing that you can't buy more of, the greatest gift that anyone has is their time. It's not yours. Your time is not yours. How are you using it? This is why I'm trying to teach our children that too much screen time is irresponsible. If it's video games or television, social media, it's irresponsible with that which doesn't belong to us. We can bury our time in the sand if we want to, but you can't expect to get anything in return from such actions. There's two types of behavior, two types of people, investors, and spenders or wasters. And you're a broker. You're a broker, and God has given you something to invest. And it's not your money. You're going to be held accountable for what you do with God's gifts. Our life is not our own, and we need to remember that and use it wisely. We've been given gifts. We've been given spiritual gifts. We've been given the gospel. What a precious, precious reality that God has given you. Knowledge, which brings liberty and life. Knowledge that will save other people from their damnation and from their sins. You have something others need. It's a gift. Don't bury it. Let us be careful how we use what God gives us. Third point is this: as a steward, you are responsible and accountable to God. It comes with accountability and responsibility. We see this in verses 25 through 28. First of all, there's a responsibility to God, and second, there's a responsibility to our neighbors or others. You're responsible not to hold back what is given you. To what God has given you freely, you're to freely pass on to others. How do you invest what God gives? By giving. What He has given us is not for selfish consumption. What He's given you is not so that you'll feel smarter than everyone else. If He's given you an education, it's not for you to be more important than everybody else. It's you to serve those that don't have the education. If you've been given a spiritual gift, you're not to use that for personal gain or for your own glory or fame, for attention. You've been given that gift to serve others. This is what we see in verse 25. Of which I become a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Paul's recognizing that he was entrusted with something very special, this mystery, this knowledge, and that was given to him so that he might give it to the church, that he might be a blessing to others. And he's going to be held accountable to God for how he uses what has been given to him. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I'm still entrusted with a stewardship. This gospel that God had revealed to Paul and all these mysteries, all this information was given to Paul so that he might give it to the church. Paul was just a conduit. He was just a means for God serving the church. God gave Paul directly this stuff, and God gave the church indirectly the same stuff through Paul. Paul had a responsibility, therefore, to give out what had been given to him. Likewise, we are called to do the same. We are called to be faithful with what God has given us. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. Faithful. The Bible says, he who is faithful with little, God will give more. But he who is unfaithful with little, God will take that little away from him. Ministers must prove themselves faithful with the smallest responsibilities if they want to be trusted with greater responsibilities. If you're a minister and want to be a minister, you know what you need to do? I told the seminary class Thursday night this. If you want to minister to the church of God, this is what you need to do. First, prove to be the most faithful church member. You're not ready to minister to the church if you're not first a faithful member of the church. You've been given something. You say, it's just a dollar. It's not much. I don't have much. What are you going to do? Bury it? You're going to throw it away? Are you going to despise it? Are you going to look down your nose on the little things that you have? Are you going to use it and be faithful with it? Multiply it. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. You see, it's not just towards God, it's towards one another. God has chosen to entrust others with a stewardship through our own stewardship. We see this in verse 26. The mystery hidden for ages and the generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, it says, God has chosen to reveal these mysteries to the saints. God's wanting all the saints to know these things. He wants the Gentiles to know these things. He wants the Gentiles to know that the hope that is in you is Christ Himself. He wants the Gentiles to know the glory and the beauty and the splendor of the gospel. But how is He going to reveal it to the saints? He did it so by revealing it to Paul. And Paul, it can only fulfill his stewardship by taking what was given to him and relaying it to the church. And once the church receives what Paul gives them, then the church now has a stewardship with what was given to them. And though you may never heard the active or the direct voice of God giving you anything, you still have received a stewardship through the scriptures, through the preaching of the word, the gospel, and all that you have. God wanted to use Paul to entrust others with the knowledge that he had entrusted to Paul. What an amazing thing. Stewardship comes through the stewardship of others. Paul told Timothy, take that which I've given you and entrust or train or give to faithful men that they may be able to turn around and entrust it to the next generation. See, we're just here for a little while in this world and we've been handed a baton and we're to run with all of our might and hand it off. We're to take what's given to us and share to others. It is the devil. Let me be very plain to myself so I can hear what I'm saying and so that you can hear what I'm saying. It is the devil that makes us selfish. Selfish with our time, our resources, our gifts. That's how you bury your talents. Self-consumption. It doesn't multiply in the generations to come after you. But you know what you can do? You can take one gospel and spread it around. And just even if you just witness to one single person, that one person may turn around and give it to another person. And then you never know, when you get to heaven, there could be a million people saved through that one testimony that you sold. That's multiplying the gift that God has given you. It's amazing that the world and the children of men are sometimes wiser than the children of God. They understand the principle of investment, investing. Thinking about the future, not just for the moment, the present. You see, stewards are conduits of God's grace. God gives to us so that God can give to others through us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will grow a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Y'all know your Bibles well enough to know what passage I'm quoting? The passage talking about financially given. You know, let's just put it in other words. You who give cheaply, sparingly, tightly, are going to reap just a little bit. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will give generously. Provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and gave generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gift to those who need them, they will thank God. Let me summarize that for you. The more you give, the more God will give you to give to others. There was this poor woman that wanted to support missions. And she barely had enough food to put on her own table. And She was a widow and had little to no income. Let's put it this way. She made less than you make. But she wanted to support missions, and she prayed to God to help her be faithful with the little that she did have. And it is said of this woman that after several years, 5, 10, 15 years, that all these missionaries came to visit her or come to the church that she attended and said, we want to know who's sending us thousands of dollars each month. And apparently she'd been supporting missionary after missionary with over the years, hundreds of thousands of dollars. All the while just making a poor income. And the fact is that God found someone that wanted to give. And that money that she gave to give was not her own. It was just gifts. Do you realize that she gave what was not hers? And the more she gave and went out from her, the more God put in her to give out. This is not health and wealth and give so that I can have the jet. This is, I want to be used of God. I want to be a steward of God. Now, let's really take this serious as a church. Now, we're in a lot of countries and we're thinking about Latin America. But hey, how about us doing more? So we don't have any money to do more. Let's be faithful with what we have. So I don't believe the Bible. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with being a poor steward. We don't trust that God will use us. And we don't want to be used because what we do have, we want to just use on ourselves. But the more that flows through us, the more will be supplied to us. We will never, ever be in need because we outgave ourselves. Jesus says, one who is faithful is in the very little is also faithful in much. And if we can't do well with what we have, well, Jeff, I just make $2 a month. That is enough to be faithful with. And on the day of judgment, you may be glad you didn't have but $2 a month. And I'm not just talking about money. This is about time. This is about our resources. This is about everything that we have. Our gifts, our knowledge, everything is on loan to us from God. Fourthly, a steward, as a steward, you are empowered by God. This is the most encouraging thing. This is the thing that just makes me want to sit down in a chair and look up and just weep. Look at verse 29. For this I toll, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Now, who's tolling here? Is it God in Paul or is it Paul himself? First of all, it says, I toll. I'm laboring here. I'm doing all this. He says in one place, I have labored more abundantly than them all. Talking about the other apostles. I've worked harder than anybody else. I have put more time. I've worked overtime. I have been more through more difficulties. I have given everything and I have worked harder than everyone else. I am tolling at this. I am investing a lot in this. I'm trying to squeeze every bit of energy, resource out of me. I'm trying to be productive. I'm trying to get things done. I'm trying to be a good steward with what I have. I know he's going to reap where he did not sow. I'm trying to toll at what I have been given to toll with. You know, God does not like laziness. Slothfulness, mismanagement of resources, wasting things. Think about what God has given our church. Saints, think of the gifts that are in this room. What an amazing thing to be responsible for. You see, in one sense, we have to toll ourselves. But in another sense, it's God tolling through us. Paul says, I've labored greater or more abundantly or greater than the rest of them, but yet not I, but the grace of God in me. We cannot do anything unless God gifts us and then empowers us to do the work. This is what it says. For this I toil, struggling with all my energy. No, with His energy. As your days will be, so shall your strength be. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. God works through His people. Let me make this clear to you so you know what I'm talking about. God doesn't directly do anything hardly for us. He doesn't speak to us directly. He doesn't encourage us directly. He's invisible. You cannot see Him. But how does He minister to you and I? How does God speak to you and I? How does God assist you and I? You know, most of the commands, God uses secondary means. Most of God's miracles in the Bible are the utilization of secondary means. Sometimes it's a direct miracle where God intervenes and breaks the laws of nature. But most of the time, you know, it's the winds that blow the sea apart. It's the wind that bring the locusts in. It's the a fish that was prepared to swallow Jonah. He uses means to carry out His purposes. And in the church, God has arranged to love us, to speak to us, to rebuke us, to encourage us through means, through other saints, through ministers like you and I. God loves us through the love of His people. When I was hungry, You fed me. When I was thirsty, You gave me something to drink. You see, it's through the saints loving us that we see the love of God. I remember being single in those dark days of singleness. It's hard being single. We who have been married for a good while, we forget the difficulties of singleness and loneliness. But I was having one of those moments of, well, God, You know, I know You love me, but you can't embrace me. You know, even God says it's not good for man to be alone. He recognizes that. And I was feeling sorry for myself and feeling alone. I was feeling all the crazy feelings that you can have. And the next day, I had a nursing home ministry, and I was going the next day, and I preached at the nursing home. And this older lady with dementia came and gave me the biggest, warmest, longest hug. And I said, this is God hugging me through her. And it broke me down because this woman doesn't know anything about me. This woman is just she's got dementia. She had no clue. I could have been her grandson, or she knows. But it meant something to me because I recognized God in her ministering to me. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I firmly believe, as a minister of the gospel, I believe this with all my heart, with all my mind. I bank on this, that when I'm preaching, God is speaking. I believe that. If indeed I'm speaking the truth. And when I'm beseeching you, if you're lost and I'm saying, come and be reconciled to Jesus Christ, I believe it's God telling you through me, be reconciled to Christ. And he's imploring you, he's beseeching you through my own beseeching. You may say, well, I never heard God tell me he wanted me to be saved. I never heard the gospel message. God never really showed me. He'll say on the day of judgment, yes, he did. When Jeff Johnson implored you, beseech you to be reconciled, I was speaking through him. I was using his words as a conduit, as a messenger to relay what I want you to know. You see, we are all ambassadors of God because we've been given a stewardship from God. We are his, if you would, messengers. God gives us gifts so that we can serve not ourselves, but one another. And if God has called us to do something, he will supply us with what we need to do it. Every Sunday I wake up preparing for the message and I just ask the Lord, Lord, I know they're going to come hungry and I don't have anything to give them unless you feed me. But over the years, I know that God's so faithful, I get where I expect God to give me something. I'm looking for God to give me something because I know he's going to feed his people. And if you want to be used of God, take what you have and pass it on. And don't be afraid you're going to deplete yourself. You don't need a reservoir before you can start giving what you have. You may not get the reservoir until God starts seeing that you're trustworthy with the little that you do have. Hudson Taylor says, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. We're about to send Taylor and Ariel off to Ecuador. And are they going to be fully supplied? Are they going to have the needs that they have? And they may be worried about running low on financial support. But what they need to know is this. Are we called of God to go? Then we'll go. And we have enough money to get started on day one. We'll look to God for day two later. Our church has enough money to operate for day one. Let's do what God's called us to do faithfully. God will take care of us for day two tomorrow. Hudson Taylor goes on to say, he is too wise of a God to frustrate his purposes for the lack of funds. And he can just as easily supply them ahead of time as afterwards. And he much prefers doing so. The key question for us is to ask, are we in the will of God? Are we doing what God's called us to do? We need to know that. We need to know that we're doing what God's commissioned us to do. And once we know, whatever job that you have, you need to know, is this, am I doing what God wants me to be doing? And once you know, then do it. And God will supply you everything you need to carry out your stewardship. It's so liberating for me to know that I'm right where God wants me. If God is behind what we are doing, then let's do it. If God's not behind it, we need to find something else to do. So why not more? I mean, here's a man who wasted one talent and another person had two that doubled it. I liked the guy in the story that had five. That one's the one that I like. Why don't we become that type of person? To do more. To ramp up what we're doing. We're going to be held accountable to God. All that we have belongs to Him. It's not ours to do with what we want to. We have been called of God. We've been gifted by God. We're responsible to God. And we will be empowered by God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the faithfulness of your steward, the Apostle Paul, who was faithful not to hold back the whole counsel of God. He emptied himself. It appears that he has a lot of fruit that came from his work. We are even to some degree his fruit. Even 2,000 years later, we're a byproduct of the work and ministry efforts of your servant Paul. Lord, we have a responsibility for our children. We pray that we raise them in a way that would affect our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Lord, we have a responsibility here in our seminary to raise up men, not just for the next generation, but in generations that come after them. Here we are at a church, dear Lord. We have this great responsibility to give what you've given us to them. Lord, do we want to be sold out? We want to give you everything. We're sorry for mismanaging our time, our finances, mismanaging our health, our resources, our lives. We pray that you'd help us redeem the time that we have left. Lord, that we would just know exactly, have the wisdom that we need to know exactly to be doing what we need to be doing. Sharing the gospel, we know that's our responsibility. Loving others is our responsibility. Caring for one another is our responsibility. Help us to be good at it. And this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.